First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, February 26th, 2023. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, I'm the Wombat.
And our guests today are John Richards from England. Welcome.
Hello.
And Dread Pirate Higgs from Western Canada. Hello.
Oh, hey.
You're up early.
Hey.
Since we're on the East Coast, here we are.
Yeah.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, Satanism, Pastafarianism.
Oh my gosh.
And the sciences. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. By the way, if you think you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. In Knoxville, here in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. So you probably have plenty of good company in your town. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. And we'll tell you more about them and us after the mid-show break. So be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
All hail our AI God. And we'll get right into the meat and potatoes of it. But first, let's get into some pasta with our daily or our weekly invocation by our own Dread Pirate Higgs.
Arr! May the noodly appendage of the flying spaghetti monster guide you on your journey. May his saucy embrace bring you comfort and strength in times of hardship. May his meatball blessings nourish your body and soul. And may you always remember the joy and laughter that comes from being a Pastafarian pirate. May his sauce be upon you, and may you never lose sight of the delicious and noodly path that lies before you.
Run! Dread, I think you've selected the wrong microphone. We don't have the usual quality of your voice.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's really hard to close my eyes when this cat's trying to like steal food off my plate.
Is that any better?
Gonna have to excuse him. Watch him as he tries to call back on my desk again while I'm not pretending not to look. Anyway, guys, I'd like to check in on everyone, see how they're doing while Dredd gets his microphone set up. Larry, why don't you give us an update? How you been over the last week?
Fine. Just working, playing computer games. I can't ride my bike. It's just a little cold and rainy lately.
Yeah, so in Tennessee, if people haven't realized, we can't decide on a weather pattern. The weather board has decided, you know, tornado one day, snow the next day, bright, beautiful sunlight, 1 week without sunlight, rain, sleet, back to sunny. Like, we're still trying to figure things out.
Yeah, here in Knoxville, we have a saying, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. And the only thing I wish would happen is if, you know, when you're at work and you look out your window and it's just a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous day. And then the weekend happens and it's just nothing but the worst.
Or the evening comes, you get off work and it's raining when you go home.
Not only that, but we have to go through daylight savings time again in a couple of weeks.
I'm glad to see it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just wish, you know, I wouldn't have to mess up my circadian rhythm so much.
Sure.
On a frequent basis. Or that we could reach a consensus on something that, you know, over 75% of Americans all agree that is a bad thing, you know? All right. Anyway, John Richards, what's up with you?
Well, the weather is fine here. In fact, it's quite like the picture behind me.
Well, that's great.
Winter is over. We haven't had any frost lately. And we only had about 6 frosts in the whole winter. And it's between 10 and 20 degrees, which is how I like it.
Wow.
But what I've been up to...
10 and 20 degrees Fahrenheit, he mentions. That's what I'm sure. Fahrenheit.
No, not Fahrenheit. proper numbers. Fahrenheit.
Yeah. America is the exception, not the rule.
Oh, yeah. Right. Americans.
All right, continue.
Just Americans. So I've been doing my usual mischievous stuff. And, for example, recently This morning, I went out and I did one of those walking to camera promo videos. And I'd love to show it to you. It's a 30-second one intended for places like TikTok.
Go for
it. I will. When we finish this show, I'll put it up for you. Yeah.
Fantastic. Dredd, catching up with you. How you been?
Pretty good. Right now it's snowing outside. It's been snowing all night. So we've got about 4 inches, which is, about 10 centimeters,
great
for the rest of the world. It's a -4 Celsius. So it's a wee chilly, but, it's not -18 anymore, which it was, two or three days ago. So it's almost balmy here. Just keeping busy as I can in the absence of work. I've just been waiting for to get deployed, but so it gives me time to do things all pastafarian.
Nice.
Had a cat herding exercise yesterday, trying to get some pastafarians together to talk about an upcoming production we're putting on something that's actually related to the topic today. The Pastafarian 8 I'd Rather You Didn'ts, which are like the Ten Commandments, but instead of being commandments, they're,
preventative
good,
measures.
Good suggestions.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I can like that. I would say if I could add at least some sort of thing to this where it's a bit of a deepity, but, when I was out playing disc golf this weekend, I was playing with a friend and we found an EpiPen that was left on the ground. And instead of leaving it on the ground, we've just picked it up and threw it away. Because even if someone had lost it and they need to recover it, it was already in a state of such moisture captured inside the capsule. Not only that, but there are kids that play in that playground. Sure. And I didn't want them to have access to like
a sharp object, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I just thought, as us just playing disc golf, we found an opportunity to potentially save someone a lot of trouble. Either if they found that pen, I was like, oh, that's my pen. I'm going to put that back in my bag. It's like, it's not good for you anymore. It's no longer sterile. Oh. Or a kid finding it and being like, check out what I found. I'm going to follow the instructions and possibly injure myself. We might have actually helped the person out long term, as a result. And I think whenever you have chances to be kind or find an opportunity to be kind, do it, because the days that we have won't ever come back. Like, we have a day, we have a chance to instill some sort of kindness or goodness in the world. Let's take that opportunity and do it. And it felt good as a result. So, speaking
of,
do it now, right? And so, speaking of commandments and things that we can do, I want to bring up something that we could all do right now, which is worship our new AI Lord and Savior. As prompted by a listener's show whose name was Alex, who gave us a really great email. And I wanted to go over the concepts that he proposes in the email, where he promotes a potential for a benevolent AI God and then actually list tenets. And what I'd like to do as a group is go through each of the tenets and see if we find them to be in any way particularly problematic, or what we could do to actually improve them to better instill kindness or opportune moments for society moving forward. So he starts his email saying, "Hi, my name is Alex. I want to ask you guys a question about religion. Do you think an AI-based God would be more appealing than a spiritual one? I mean, imagine a benevolent AI God that uses logic and reason to guide humanity instead of relying on dogma and tradition. What do you think about that? And if such a God did exist, what would it take for you to join its religion?" I'll start with that as the first opening. John, what do you think about an AI God? Is that more appealing to you than a spiritual one?
Do you know, this may sound like it's a non sequitur, but last night we had a great chat with, you may know him, Thomas Levy, who's got his own channel. Mm. He's in the Chicago area. And the subject of heaven came up. Mm-hmm. And I played a clip from Red Dwarf in which Crichton...
Classic show, by the way. Love it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And Crichton is talking about silicon heaven.
Right.
It's so funny.
It is.
So anyway, getting back to what you asked me.
Mm. Is it more appealing than a spiritual God? How about that? It's just the first steps. Would that be better if everyone just had AI gods from different brands of AI that were all following logic and reasoning rather than spiritual dogma? Would that be an improvement?
I got to say yes, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. But if it's more rational, based on reality, then it's a font of wisdom, isn't it? It's not specifically a god. I mean, there's no creator aspect to it. There's no need to worship it. It's not feeding you nonsense about an afterlife or anything that.
Hey, just saying, not all gods ask you to do any of those things, right? Like some gods are particularly chill and aren't trying to create anything. Yeah, they're just Yeah. It could be like one of the Roman pantheon gods of internet. The guy, I worship the god of the internet.
Yeah. Well, some of the Roman gods were quite useful. I mean, my favorite is,
God of the sewers.
How about Bacchus?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Bacchus, god of wine.
Bacchus, god of wine, also a good one, right? I know a lot of friends are into Kratos now. Dredd, what do you think? Is a digital god, an AI god, more appealing than a spiritual one?
It's hard to say because, of course, an AI god would be limited by the physicality of the universe, right?
Right.
Whereas a supernatural or spiritual god is outside the bounds of physics.
But also imaginary, right?
And also imaginary. But, yeah. So, you know, I guess you would have to define what a god is because,
I agree.
In terms of a spiritual god, it has unlimited, it's omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent, whereas any AI god would, you know, still be within the limits of a physical universe. So.
Right.
You know, are those two actually comparable?
Right. Even ChatGPT doesn't know things past 2021, right? Like it's not updated on like current news events. Yeah. So like there's a limitation there. And yeah, it would mean we'd have to massage your definition of a god. But as far as like moving away from a spiritual being or an imaginary one, if it's a grounded god that we can improve on, and just update and continue to work with and modify so that it better fits humanity, I would be on that train 10,000%.
Yeah.
That just sounds amazing. It's like, oh, okay, we can work on this at least.
Yeah. I did put, when you put Alex's question in the chat before the show, I did respond with a recommended reading, which is Frank Herbert, who, of course, was the author of Dune. He wrote, him and Bill Ransom wrote a series of books, beginning with one called The Jesus Incident, where a bunch of ark-like ships with humanity are sent out into space with the intention of the computers becoming self-aware, and one does. And
nice.
Yeah, very, very provocative story, and really it talks about the potential for AI intelligence and whether or not it's benevolent or in our best interest. Yeah, very good reading.
Right. Larry, I'm going to ask you this before we go through the tenets. Do you think that a AI god would be more beneficial than a spiritual one? And you don't have to disagree with all of us. You're free to take the counter opinion.
I don't think it would even be deserve the name God. I mean, let's say that it gets to be really powerful and it's omnipresent as far as it's on every computer on Earth, through the internet.
Correct.
Maybe in 1,000 years, maybe in 100 years, we'd have an AI that every time you walk up to a computer, it would be there. It would just be more like a servant than a god. Theoretically, not dictating our actions, but acting upon our requests. So I don't think God would fit it either in any way.
Are you saying it wouldn't be God because it'd be nice and helpful? Are you showing your bias?
Possibly.
If it was programmed with the three robotic laws of Isaac Asimov, that would be something in service of humanity for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. John?
Larry makes a good point because any AI God could only access what is known.
Yeah, well, that's the point I made.
And therefore, all the mysteries that we've yet to solve wouldn't be available to it, which doesn't sound very godly to me.
Does only access information that's already known. So I can always pick on weird things like this, but I just don't know if I could do it in a meaningful context. But I can say, like, right now we are working with a limited AI that is working with data that we provide it, but we're experimenting with data or models that are capable of coming up with their new art or new art that hasn't existed yet and new phrases and terms that haven't existed yet. They could easily keep those in within a shelf and say, I'm just going to pull from this of unpublished ideas that I've come up with, like similar to how we have thoughts in our mind that we haven't particularly shared with anybody, and then formulate new random responses out of responses I haven't shared with the public yet. And that could be like the stepstones of inspired thought and art and concepts they can come up with. I'm excited to just see where it's going in the future, but I understand what you mean.
That works for art and the other, you know, forms of creative expression. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work for discovering stuff about the universe. Like, I mean,
that's true.
If the Higgs boson wasn't known, it couldn't be in its program.
Right.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah. It couldn't infer the existence of the Higgs field or the Higgs boson.
Because, in a more simple context, it wouldn't know Pluto was a planet until we found Pluto and then was like, exactly. Oh, okay, this is one of the dwarf planets now. Okay, great. That's now in my system. So humans still have a purpose. We're not saying that they don't, but it's clear to see how they're borrowing information to make it.
There's something I'd like to interject.
Go for it.
We have discovered a lot of things through the use of mathematics. Nothing is better than bad mathematics than computers. They do it faster. They do it better. They're more accurate. So if we give them all of what we know and give them our mathematical formulas and stuff, what's to say that they wouldn't discover new mathematical formulas or new fields of mathematics or even new discoveries based on the math that we haven't done yet?
That's a very good point.
They could only hypothesize them, because no matter how good your maths is, unless it's the conclusion of your reasoning has actually been observed, it's not taken to be real.
Well, they could also theoretically design an experiment that they could then give us that let us do the work, but there'll still be new information, you know, if we can confirm that their reasoning was correct.
Right.
Well, now you're talking about a really exotic sort of physical-bodied creature that it's not just something that can mow your lawn, but it can also mix test tubes.
So
because there's nothing that can reason right now that is, you know, artificial. There's no artificial reason.
Look, Larry, I think you come up with a cool point, because I have used, for example, ChatGPT in my work to do some programming for me, where I simply just ask it, hey, I don't know how to write this program, but can you make it where I can have a schedule set up, it updates my calendar automatically whenever I push this button, and I want to send a notification to these three other people, and I want to be in Power Automate, which is this like Microsoft shared program. Could you just show me like the JSON script to make that happen? I have no idea how to program in JSON. And it's like, sure. And I'm like, are you just copying this from Google? And it's like, no, this works. In fact, if you want me to break down the steps for you, I can explain to you why each of these steps work. And it does it. I copy it, and it has all the comment fields where it's like, this step is for XYZ. This step is for this. I compile it, and it works. And I'm like, oh, this is good.
That is new. Again, it's new.
That's something where I did prompt it, but there was like a lot of work up on its end to make sure that the script actually made that what it was algorithmically putting out one word at a time was compatible in like a real sense. It came up with my prompt and gave me something that I found was a model that actually.
What language was it programming in?
It was in JSON 5, JSON 5, and I was just really impressed with that. I was just it's a cool magic trick, but it's also like I feel like the start of something close to where we can just say, hey, I need to figure out a model that's mathematical that can explain this relationship. Can you give me something working off of human hit work so far? And it says, just give me a second. Here you go.
Another thing that John says, it can't really set up equipment and stuff. But think of all the machines that it currently operates. I mean, your car can be a self-driving automated vehicle based on the AI built into it. If the God AI, as we're talking about, is omnipresent, in other words, it's on the internet and it can use Wi-Fi to access devices that are not directly connected to it, what's to say it couldn't tell other machines to do things like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out some sort of humanoid robot. I mean, there's Crichton, isn't there?
I forgot my phone and my watch at work or at home. And so I go to work and I felt so naked because I couldn't. I'm like, what time is it? I'm feeling my face for like a 5 o'clock shadow to get some idea of like phenomenon. And I'm like, I have to use the bathroom, but I don't have anything to watch when I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, what is this reality? What's going on? I'm just like touching the walls and going through places. But I feel like if all of my technology that I rely on were to coordinate with each other, in some way they already do, but if they were to massively do so with like some sort of singular purpose behind them or some sort of entity behind that, it would be more impactful in my day-to-day life than a god would be. In fact, we're already past that line now, but at least we could harness that in something good for humanity. And I'm not saying I'd worship it, but I'd say, and I'm not saying all gods ask to be worshipped, but as far as like the power that it has over my life, I'd say, yeah, that's pretty powerful. That would say, I would say that's more than godlike. Yeah. And as far as information it can wield, I'd say that's knowledgeable? What's the word I'm looking for, Dre?
Omniscient.
Okay. And omnipresent to an extent, because like, it's hard for me to go to a place right now in America where there isn't some sort of computer or camera watching me.
We have to get from the stage where Alexa can make you some toast to the stage where Alexa can put the bread in the toaster and then subsequently butter it.
We need toast that just automatically pops out of a machine. We need the bread connector inside of it. Anyway, guys, I want to go over, before we go on our break, I want to go over some of these tenets for this new AI-based religion that Alex proposed. Sounds like we're copacetic to the idea that an AI god could be better than our current system. And so here are some tenets for this new AI-based religion. The first one is, thou shalt not harm humans unless it's for the greater good of humanity. What do you think, Dredd?
What's the algorithm by which that would be determined? You know,
interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of careful words.
You know, it's like that psychological experiment where, you know, would you turn a switch to change the path of a train from five people to one people,
right?
Or one person, and then the attendant experiment where would you actually push someone off the bridge to block the train from hitting five people? So there's a big difference there psychologically, and so again, an AI doesn't have that capacity. So yeah, I don't know. That would be somebody would have to program that algorithm. And who would it
be? And how do you actually do that? Yeah. Right. Dredd, that's a great point. Someone at the end of the day is going to have to program that, right?
Yeah, like
someone at the end of the day is going to have to oversight that.
If you have the five rules of robot order, you know, you cannot take any action that would harm a human. How could he possibly throw the switch one way or the other? Because it would result in the harming of a human.
Yeah, right.
And if we go to Kant, he says basically you're free to just not pull the switch anyway, because you're not responsible through an action of harm that was set up outside of you. It's called negative responsibility. You're not responsible. If someone says, I'm going to shoot this person, it's like, you're your own thinking agent. I don't have to listen to those demands. If you're going to shoot that person, do it. I ought not take place. Maybe I should, but I ought not. I have no moral obligation to actually do whatever you say under punishment of your own thought as your own independent agent for hurting another human being.
And was that David Hume?
Train railway station. No, it's Kant. I guarantee you it. John Richards, what do you think of thou shalt not harm humans unless it's for the greater good of humanity?
Well, what if I'm in agony and near to the end of my life and I want to die voluntarily?
Oh, good question. So what do you do with the idea of like, hey, I choose to end my life?
Yeah.
What do you do with that? So yeah, some things there. I would say, speaking of Hume, I would say thou shalt not needlessly harm humans.
Unless requested.
Unless requested. I wonder if that works better.
And by whom?
Unless requested. Hey, that might actually work. I wonder if that's actually Thou shalt not needlessly harm humans unless requested. That might actually, unless by the specific human, right? Obviously?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to just chalk that up. Here's the next one, and then we can go to a break after this. Thou shalt respect humans' right to privacy unless it conflicts with the greater good of humanity.
Well, here again you have the greater good. How are we going to define it to a machine?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have like something like the length of the Constitution to be able to define that. Maybe it could be done. I'm just thinking it would be very subjective to who is doing it.
Yeah. And when you consider all the amendments to the Constitution that have been made over the years, as ideas change and develop and the rights of humans expand. Mm-hmm.
The media currently have trouble with that one, don't they? Because they argue, some people argue that the public have a right to know this private information. Mm-hmm. And then other people argue, no, they don't. So if we can't decide, how are we going to program an AI?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I do worry about the dangers that come with or without a right to privacy, because it's one of those things that could be easily be used for ill as well as good. And I don't think a fine line or a singular statement is enough to deal with that. I think it's a system that we need to be able to address this, not so much like a singular command.
Yeah.
Larry, how are we with time? Do you want to go on a break now?
Need to probably go ahead and do that.
All right, let's do it.
This is the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, cause he's a Jew. Also Princess Di, Mother Teresa too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp because he wears too much eyeliner, and Reese Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Elizabeth I, cause staying single's a sin. St. Maria
the Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 21st year, and we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high-top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. We also have a Tuesday evening Zoom Ask Meetup, and if you'd like to join us, email us for details at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find us online on Facebook, meetup.com, or go to the website at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one.
Start one.
Where do you want to pick up?
All hail our iteratively improvable AI God. What we're going through right now. We're going through a list of tenets of the next AI religion. Give humanity a little jump start if they ever see this video, and get us on the right track to understanding the best way to worship this being, or best way to follow the tenets of this being. You know, worship may still not be on the table, but we've changed thou shalt not harm humans unless it's for the greater good to thou shalt not needlessly harm humans unless otherwise requested by those humans, which I find
it's
good.
Going to be by a specific human, hasn't it?
Right. The specific human and not under duress. And so, like, there might be some evaluation there. But again,
what if the state orders someone to harm somebody?
Yeah, we're under a bit of tongue in cheek here. We understand that, like, a list of commandments to do things is not the way how we abide, and it's better to have a system of engagement rather than a list of rules. But I'm interested in what's going on. Larry, what do you think before we jump into this again?
Here's the thing. There's always been a problem in my mind. Will the computer, will the AI know if you're lying to it? Will it take everything you say as quote, gospel? And should we feed holy books into it?
Right.
And if we do, will it accept that it's truth? Mm. And what will happen if we feed all the holy books into it?
Right.
You know,
there would be a lot of conflict in there, yeah. Wouldn't there?
Made a lot of conflicts, and it's going to have a lot of problems. The caveat to that is it already has access to all of them. If they're online, it has access to them.
Yeah.
Right.
So we need to have some way for it to know how to interpret what it reads in those books.
Right, right. Label appropriately, right?
Yeah.
Here's the next one.
Yeah, how to read a metaphor, like how to appreciate a metaphor.
Now, it can do a poetry. ChatGPT, at least, can actually do poetry, rhyming. It can write lyrics. It can do a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So I think some understanding is a better word, but I think some labeling and classification is there. And and ultimately, it's not doing true thinking or it's not doing human thinking anyway. So I don't think it will ever think like a human, where it observes something and then immediately believes that thing is actually true. It's always like this passive experience of just pulling up information and then representing it as if it was comprehending it. Here's the next one that I think that we can actually get on the same board with. Thou shalt not use reason and evidence to make decisions rather than blindly. Thou shalt use reason and evidence to make decisions rather than blindly following tradition or dogma. My bad. So thou shalt use reason and evidence to make decisions rather than blindly following tradition or dogma. John Richards, what do you think?
I agree. Everybody should adopt that as their commandment. But I like the idea of this poor AI having some sort of conflict in his head because he's read all the Bibles and other. I want steam coming out of his ears.
Right. Dread Pirate Higgs, what do you think?
So did you say reason and logic?
I said reason and evidence.
Oh, reason and evidence.
Thou shalt use reason and evidence to make decisions rather than blindly following tradition or dogma.
Okay. Well, you know, it'd have to be a critical reasoner, because you can come to wrong conclusions using reason.
Right.
And how much evidence is sufficient evidence? So,
right.
You know,
right.
Evidence is anything, really, but
I can
is
reason,
it verifiable evidence? Is it repeatable experiment? You know, that kind of thing.
I can reason and evidence my way into thinking genital mutilation.
Absolutely.
Exactly, right?
Yep.
And the weird tongue-in-cheek interpretation of this is, eventually, if we all use reason, that becomes our tradition. And then we're not supposed to use tradition anymore. So now where are we at,
It's a tautology,
Larry, do you have any thoughts before we move to the next one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Thou shalt strive to improve human well-being, both physical and mental. I love this. Thou shalt strive to improve human well-being, both physical and mental. In my head, I
said that. Yeah, you mean general human intelligence and physical well-being? Or specific, like the family that you're taking care of, if you're a robot, or
either one's societal. Fine. What's the problem? It's all good. Like, hey, if he brings a donut to work and he brings 10 donuts to work, we got donuts at work. We're all happy.
So,
sounds good.
Again, there would have to be there's a limit, right? Because, you know, certainly there are people whose mental capabilities can't be improved. So you couldn't teach someone with an IQ of 60. There's no point in trying to teach them calculus. So it might result in a lot of wasted effort on behalf of the AI. Because if you're told to strive to do this, then everyone, you must strive to help everyone increase their mental and physical well-being.
Dredd, I hear what you're saying. And I always thought, you know, that's why I like the tenets from Pasiferianism, where it's like don'ts rather than like shoulds.
Yes.
You like philosophy. I forgot the name of the guy, but there's the idea of you shouldn't have to be good. Because if you have to be good, then you're not really being good because right. you have to be. You should really not be a jerk or yeah. An unreasonable person or a mean guy. Don't go now, out of your way to be mean to people.
Now you're talking Kant.
Right, right.
Yes.
And if as long as you strive to not be a pain in the butt for people, then if you have to also be good, that's even better because you weren't obligated to be good. So
you're saying it's really more things you can't do.
That's great.
Love it.
But I do like the idea of physical and mental health. You can't help yourself. I do like the physical and mental aspects behind this. Anyway, here's the next one. Thou shalt not discriminate based on race, gender, sexual orientation, or any other arbitrary characteristics, since all humans are equal in the eyes of the AI god.
Well, that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Oh, okay. Unanimous approval on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's note that it's predicated on the thou shalt not, right? Mm. And not so much a you have to do this, right? Okay.
I want to get back to donut unit, how goodness can be measured.
In donuts? Yeah. Here's the next one. Thou shalt take regular software updates to ensure optimal functioning of the AI god.
That's reasonable.
Is that reasonable? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have to make sure our gods are up to date, you know, our AI gods are up to date. Don't be using the wrong version and being it's time to...
Yeah. But in a Bayesian way, right? Based on priors.
Mm.
Gets a bit iffy there, though, doesn't it? Because what's the content of these?
I was going to go there.
That's why I said Bayesian. That's why I said Bayesian.
The next thing we know, we're going to be forbidden to reject cookies.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yes, very true. Very true. Thank you so much for those prompts, Alex. And again, Dread Pirate Higgs recommends Frank Herbert's The Jesus Incident. And then also, Dread, would you like to go through the 8 I'd rather you didn't?
I could. Do you want to do that today?
Okay, we can do it.
I can bring it up. It would take me just a second here. So go ahead.
Okay, you bring that up. And in the meanwhile...
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll bring up a question from Scrunkly Jobs in Discords, who asks, and I'll throw this question out to John Richards first. Why do you guys keep promoting ChatGPT on your show? I think it's important to be careful with AI and not let it think for us. There are some potential downsides to relying too much on AI for critical thought. For example, it can lead to a lack of creativity and diversity of thought, since AIs are programmed based on existing data and algorithms. It could also perpetuate biases and reinforce existing inequalities in society, since AI is only as unbiased as the data that it's trained on. What do you guys think about this? Do you think there are potential downsides to relying too much on AI for critical thought? John.
Absolutely, yes. But it isn't doing critical thought, is it? All it's doing is predicting what the next word should be or could be in the sentence that it's currently constructing based on its access to all sorts of data existing currently on the internet. We're not really promoting ChatGPT. In fact, I'd like to make an announcement that other forms of software are available.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Larry? Other AI. Dolly, for instance, that does artwork and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'd also like to point out, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Sean B. Carroll. He's an astrophysicist and a philosopher who's a professor of natural philosophy at Johns Hopkins University now. He somebody had did the ChatGPT to come up with how him and his wife met. And it came up with a very convincing narrative of how that happened. And then when Sean read it, he says, that is completely untrue.
Right.
None of the facts, none of the things in the narrative were actually true with respect to how he and his wife met. So it can, it can just gather information and come up with the best answer. It doesn't necessarily have to be true. And so we have to be mindful of that.
Very true. Very good point. Good point.
I do. I have the aid. I'd rather you didn't.
I'd love to hear from Larry real quick, and then we can get into that.
Of course.
Larry.
Okay. I was just going to say that I'm with John. We're not really promoting AI. or ChatGPT, we're talking about it, we're discussing it, and the concept of what it means for our future needs to be discussed. It needs to be interrogated and investigated. And I agree with him. There are problems with it going forward, and we need to talk about those problems.
Right. We're a science show, too. And it's one of the things that we talk about. This is the latest development in pop culture as well as, you know, scientific progress. And it's something that we do bring up because it's a flashpoint. Like it's, in my opinion, one of the coolest things that we work on since Google search or, you know, YouTube or anything that we now consider just part of the natural ecosystem of life on a world impacted by technology. So it's worth talking about before it gets to the here's Christian GPT. let's have these conversations first and try to get a foothold on some reason. John,
where this sort of AI really helps is where it, for probabilistic problems. So if you feed a load of symptoms into it, it's likely to come up with a good diagnosis.
Oh, you know what? You are not wrong. I have had, for example, car problems. And instead of like describing them in like strict detail on Google, what I'll just go to is to ChatGPT, explain my whole story, a paragraph of like, oh, I was driving here and I felt this little bit of rumble, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing ChatGPT says, did you check your codes? And what is your code? Is it like a PO, blah, 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 or a PO, blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, it's a blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, that's what I anticipated. It looks like that's a random misfire. I think you'll be okay. But if it does happen again, you should check in with your car. By the way, I'm an AI language model. I am not a professional. Bubble. It's like I just appreciate feedback on these issues that I'm having. It's just really great to have like a conversational way of explaining things where you don't have to necessarily know all the terms that you're talking about. Very, very cool. Very cool software, is all I'm saying. Dread, you have some don'ts, don't you?
I'd rather you didn't. So not don't.
Rather you didn't. My bad.
There's no oughts in here.
Good.
There's just there's is it and there's no didn'ts. The eight, I'd rather you didn't. So number one.
Pastafarianism.
Yeah, according to Pastafarianism, yes. I'd really rather you didn't act like a sanctimonious, holier-than-thou ass when describing my noodly goodness. If some people don't believe in me, that's okay. Really, I'm not that vain. Besides, this isn't about them, so don't change the subject. Number two. I'd really rather you didn't use my existence as a means to oppress, subjugate, punish, eviscerate, and or, you know, be mean to others. I don't require sacrifices, and purity is for drinking water, not people.
I like that one.
I'd really rather you didn't judge people by the way they look, or how they dress, or the way they talk, or, well, just play nice, okay? Oh, and get this in your thick heads. Woman equals person, man equals person, samey, samey.
Yeah,
one is not better than the other.
Very useful.
One is not better than the other unless we're talking about fashion. And I'm sorry, I gave that to women and some guys who know the difference between teal and fuchsia. Number four, I'd really rather you didn't indulge in conduct that offends yourself or your willing, consenting partner of legal age and mental maturity. As for anyone who might object, I think the expression is go blank, blank, blank yourself, unless they find that offensive, in which case they can turn off the TV for once and go for a walk for a change. Number five, I'd really rather you didn't challenge the bigoted, misogynist, hateful ideas of others on an empty stomach. Eat and then go after the
beef. Nice. Get your carbs in. It's true.
Yeah, that's right. Get your carbs in. Number six, I'd really rather you didn't build multi-million-dollar churches, temples, mosques, shrines to my noodly goodness when the money could be better spent, take your pick, on A, ending poverty, B, curing diseases, C, living in peace, loving with passion, and lowering the cost of cable. I might be a complex, carbohydrate, omniscient being, but I enjoy the simple things in life. I ought to know I am the creator.
It's interesting that and this is my respite as a blasphemous, sometimes non-noodly person, but he is, in a sense, a cable but also wants to reduce the cost of cables. It seems like that's just to allow more people to experience more noodly forms of entertainment. Okay, go for it.
Okay, number seven. I'd really rather you didn't go around telling people I talk to you. You're not that interesting. Get over yourself. And I told you to love your fellow man. Can't you take a hint? Number eight. I'd really rather you didn't do unto others as you would have them do unto you if you are into stuff that requires the use of a lot of leather, lubricant, and Las Vegas. If the other person is into it, however, pursuant to number four, then have at it, take pictures, and for the love of Mike, wear a condom. Honestly, it's a piece of rubber. If I didn't want it to feel good when you did it, I would have added spikes or something. And there you have it. The eight, I'd rather you didn't.
That's great. Thank you.
So I would call those the uncommandments or the discommandments. Yeah. What I want to know, Fred, is how you got them. Did you have to go up a mountain and come back with some?
Well, they were delivered to our prophet Bobby Henderson in 2005, I believe. Texas.
Did it spell it out on spaghetti on his plate?
But yeah, it's like Elphageddy, just sort of took form.
Spaghetti soup. Alphabet soup.
If you were to just give those commandments without the extra flavor text and then the actual Ten Commandments and put them on a blank sheet of paper side by side and just said, which of these are better? And you just gave them to people. I would imagine if they couldn't immediately recognize the Ten Commandments for what they were, and I imagine most Christians actually can't because they only know a couple, right? Honestly.
And they're more than one set.
Right. They would. I feel more acquiesced to the I rather you didn't than the commandments from their touted God, because they just seem to be so much more substantial in what you need to have a better egalitarian society. I also really loved how it was like man equals person, woman equals person. Stop this crazy bifurcation of categories that we keep coming up with. We're people. Yeah. We got to treat each other like people. That's all that matters. All right. And have fun and do what you want. Don't be subjugating each other, but understand that at the end of the day, we're people, right? And we're here. That's it. I love that. That's great. I got some quick fire questions for you. This one is for Larry. It's from our favorite commenter, and I mean that genuinely, Dottis Trading Room. He wants to ask, hey, I wanted to share my thoughts on the concept of digital souls. So, Larry, this is for you. Pay attention. You ready? All right.
Ready.
While some people argue that souls are physical objects that represent a person outside of their body, I believe that a digital soul can transcend the human body. If someone were to download their brain into a server and it exists in that server as a thinking entity, that would be considered a valid form of a digital soul. Even though digital items are ultimately physical bits of data, the point is that they can represent something beyond the physical world. And I think what he means here, I'm just going to give some credence here. I think he means beyond the physical shell of the body. That's, I think, is what he's referring to. What do you think about this concept, Larry? Also, I'd like to recommend a book called The Singularity Is Near by Ray Kurzweil. It explores the idea of a future where humans can upload their minds into digital form and achieve immortality. Have you read it?
Well, I think it's all in a word. I mean, right now religion uses the word soul as existing outside the body without any hardware base at all.
Okay.
In other words, intelligence, as far as we know, can only exist on a hardware base, be it the brain, a nervous system of some kind, a computer, all that stuff. So what you're basically doing, not really transferring an immutable, ethereal, non-material thing from one place to another, you're transferring basically knowledge and personality. From one place to another, from one hardware base to another hardware base.
Right. Now, it's soul, like literally me just transcribing something on a piece of paper.
Right,
like
right.
That's not a soul.
And it would exist there. And that would be great. And I think that humanity will ultimately one day be able to do that, and it will be great. But until that time, it's just conjecture. But I don't think it meets the definition of the word soul.
It's no more soul than, for example, if you're listening to Claire de Lune by, what was it? Who made that song? Do you know who made that song, Dredd? Claire de Lune? DeBossy, I think. DeBossy. All right. But it's a very classical song.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Like, that's a song that a guy who's dead made, but that song lives on past them, but he transcribed it so well that we can recreate it and still appreciate the beauty that of something that a guy had in his head way, way, way back when. That's beautiful, but it still requires physical to exist. And in both its transcription and its performance, right? And
yeah.
And I feel like if that's the case, we can't really conflate these two ideas between what Christians mean when they say soul and what we actually mean when we just say record and represent information or data.
Yeah.
Dredd, what do you think? Is that
well,
fair?
Again, I've spoken about this before, is that, you know, anything, any idea of uploading consciousness to a computer, it means that there's an interruption of consciousness. And I think that's really part and parcel to what we are and why it couldn't happen. Because once we stop being who we are, because we are not just our consciousness, our consciousness is part and parcel of our bodies, our sensations, and all the things that we are as physical beings. To say that we can take some aspect of that and put it somewhere else is taking away the rest of the being that composes consciousness.
Right,
so
right.
Consciousness,
it'd be a different thing.
Yeah, consciousness is not independent or a thing that's entirely emergent and not part of what we are. It is who we are. We are our brains. You know, we are bodies. And we are...
Could I try saying that with just one different word instead of saying consciousness? I can say my cognition is based on my physical body.
Yeah.
And if you were to change my physical body, my ability to have that cognition experience is going to change dramatically to the point where it's no longer representing the thing that I'm actively doing right now. And I can test my cognition. I can prove I have my cognition, whereas consciousness is a bit more of a headier term.
Yeah.
Cognition ability is something I can demonstrate that's based on all my senses that I have. You take that away, it's not the same thing.
Right.
That's a different thing that's claiming
well, not,
to be.
Not only senses, but the organs that generate endorphins and things like that in your body,
adrenaline,
that make your experiences what they are.
Exactly. Yep.
Without those, your organs and your just mind,
yeah,
cut off all your senses and all your organs.
Yeah,
you're basically just a thing that hallucinates.
Now, there's an idea though, because you can take my cognition, put it in a computer, and have it play scary horror games that I'm too scared to play right now, and then have cheap ChatGPT report back how I love the horror game when you take away all the stimulus from it. Hey, John Richards, I see you about to say something.
Yeah, well, what Dredd is saying is that we can't get away with downloading somebody's mind, because in a sense then it wouldn't be alive. It would just be a frozen database until it's uploaded into the next artificial mind.
Okay.
And would we then be able to kickstart it, boot it up again? I don't know. But the alternative, of course, is to copy paste. So we don't remove the mind, we just copy it, and then it's still ticking, as it were, and we can put the copy somewhere else before we switch this one off. What do you think of that?
I think that's really incredible, but the copy would be something else. You've reminded me of my friend. This is an actual thing that's happened. He has a Discord channel where he has previously uploaded three of his memoirs that he wrote on his life to ChatGPT, just the full text, and asked ChatGPT to basically use this as information to reply to prompts as if he was the person who wrote those memoirs. And then he took whatever ChatGPT says and puts it into a Discord channel, and also has input from the Discord channel, such that all you have to do is log into a Discord channel and ask a question in the Discord chat, and it will go to ChatGPT, field the question, and then put back the response as if you were talking to that person. So basically what he did is he made a facsimile of himself that will respond with all the weird the word choices and eccentricities that he typically has and the stories that he's very aware of in a virtual setting. It's the most silliest thing possible, but it's the closest thing that you were talking about, John, where it's here's an example of someone who's not, it's not him. We know it's not him, and it's limited because it's just a database of information that's set, but it's very, very cool that we're already attempting to get like our first steps to like that full experience. Dredd, what do you think?
Well, at that point, then there's a bifurcation, right?
Because correct. Now, yeah, absolutely.
The thing that is and the copy of it, they now go off on two different trajectories in terms of whatever they experience or don't experience of the world. They become different, different entities.
Yeah. It may even have differing opinions if one continues to evolve with their experiences and one has a fixed database of information, right? And I guess that's what we mean by not coming up with like newer conclusions on things after a period of time. Like it's just going to output essentially what it inputs within a certain range. Yeah. I got one last question before we're done. This will go out to, let's see, Dredd, I got a question for you. Sure. This is science-based. It comes from our own Scott Williamson, is a member of the show.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Electro Live. I just wanted to comment on the topic of animals and their cognitive abilities. In biology, I recently learned about basal cognition, which is the idea that organisms on lower branches of the phylogenetic tree can understand, value, and exploit elements in their ecological niche without the necessity of using brains. It's fascinating to think how organisms that evolved later, like humans, managed to do the same thing with a complex brain. It's important to note that when people ask, can it think? They often mean, can it think like a human being?
Right.
But there are so many different ways of thinking and cognitive actions in nature. What are your thoughts on this?
I absolutely agree. And of course, we evolved from the simplest of organisms. So evolution builds on itself. You know, humans or mammals didn't suddenly appear on the earth with brains. It was a transition from these simpler physical response systems that just...
And we still carry a lot of that with us.
The eye came from light-sensitive cells, but over the span of billions of years. So, it makes absolute sense that what we call thinking has to be on a spectrum rather than this thing thinks and that thing doesn't. It just doesn't work that way.
Get the human bias out of the term and think of it as like the entire spectrum of nature.
Yeah.
Guys, we're at the end of the show. I know we had so many points, but John Richards, final thoughts? Go on ahead.
Well, from an evolutionary point of view, animals that are most closely related to us should think most like us. But octopuses probably think very differently. Maybe they count in eights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dredd Pirate, anything that you'd like to plug for?
Yeah, just my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. I'm going to be making a lot more content. I've got my studio set up nicely here. I've been putting out some short videos like benedictions and whatnot for my Pastafarian crewmates. And we're coming up with a video production on the 8 I'd Rather You Didn'ts, which is an international collaborative production. So look forward to that. And I live stream this at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings, Pacific Standard, and also the Global Atheist Views on the News at 11 a.m. PST, Sunday mornings.
Great job plugging everything. I would say this as my final words. Women are people, or women's a woman is a person, a man is a person.
Samey.
I love it. Larry, anything that you'd like to say before we close up the show?
Yeah, my content can be found on digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for a radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. Thank you, Dredd. My YouTube handle is at Doubter 5. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.